Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
What made you hear something in Eminem where you say, man, it's this Caucasian rapper out of Detroit?
Well, first of all, I didn't know he was Caucasian, right, when I heard it. You know what I'm saying? When I heard it the first time, I just love the delivery. I love his concepts and what he was talking about, because it was just crazy. You know what I mean? I found out a couple of days later that he was a white cat. You know what I mean?
Right.
So then I'm like, wow, I got to meet him. I got to meet him. You know, this is amazing. And everybody around me at that time was trying to talk me out of working with him. You know what I mean?
Man.
Every single person around me was like, listen, man, this is a white boy. You're getting ready to ruin your career right when we get the label started, because that was at the beginning of Aftermath. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, 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 right.
So I just had to go with my gut.
Man.
I'm like, he's that hot. People are going to get into it because it's that good.
Did you have people that came up to you after they saw it that was drinking the Kool-Aid? Now, like, oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, I knew it was going to work. Right, man. I was just playing. I knew it was going to work.
I just want to see if you were committed, Drake. I just want to see if you were committed. You know, it worked out for you.
got the dog?
All right, all right. Shit.
Who got sorry, the dog? Guys.
Who let the dogs out?
The lowdown dirty shame.
This dog barks at shadows, bro. Like, literally. Hey, there's nobody outside. He's just barking.
If it's black, man, it could, you know.
He used to Waz now, so at this point.
No, but Waz is different. No, Waz isn't like the rest of them. He's different. He's cool.
Gotcha. One of the good ones.
He's one of the good ones. Oh, man.
This should be a fun one.
Yeah, man. So I missed last week. So I'm assuming, did you guys talk about Enemy of the State or the Siege?
I don't remember any of those, so okay. I'm going to be quiet.
I was on, no.
Okay, so 20 years ago, both those movies came out. I want to say around the same week, right? And it's wild because I remember watching those movies when they came out and thinking, oh, cool movie, but, you know, it's so Hollywood, man. Like, that'll never happen. Like, that's just not real. And so 20 years later, it's like those movies came true, basically. So Enemy of the State is a Will Smith movie where he plays a lawyer in Washington, D.C., who gets slipped. He bumps into a guy he went to law school with a long time ago who videotaped a senator killing someone. And then is being chased by, like, the government to try to retrieve the tape because, you know, they can't let that get out. He bumps into Will Smith, his, you know, former classmate or whatever, and then slips the tape into his bag, unbeknownst to Will Smith. And then the government basically figures out the tape is with this dude, and they think that Will Smith is in on it, even though he's not. And so they activate, like, crazy wiretapping, satellite tracking. They freeze his account. They basically, the government is putting all its resources into stopping this dude, pretty much. And he doesn't even know why. He had an affair with a woman. They try to put the affair out there. Like, it's crazy, but the moral of the story really is a lot of, like, government spying and them using... Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing because it's like, this is all the stuff all the stuff that they do was talked about in that movie. I remember watching it thinking it was just so fantastic. Like, come on, man. That ain't real. They can't do that with a satellite. They can't track that. They can't really... All that stuff, everything in that movie, because I watched it in the summertime, and I was just like, oh, shit, like, this shit was all real, man. Like, that wasn't just Hollywood stuff. And then the other movie was The Siege, and The Siege was in, again, this is 1998. This is pre-9/11. And there's, like, a terrorist cell in New York, a sleeper cell in New York, and they blow up a federal building. And as a result, like, the government reacts by basically calling Muslims, like, prisoners of war and herding them into camps and stuff like that. And, like, it's this super duper, not even racial profiling. It's beyond that, right? When you talk about, like, detaining people just for no other reason than their name and their faith or whatever. And again, like, at the time, I was like, yeah, that'll never happen. And literally, like, 3 years later, after 9/11, like, I had to go register at, like, INS and fingerprint it. And they have, like, to this day, like, the government tracks everything I do. Like, I know because they took my bank account numbers. Is it, like, they took my credit card numbers. They have, sheesh, straight up, they have tracking of anything I buy, anything I do.
Because your last name's El Hassan?
Because my last name's El Hassan. That's the only reason why. That's
sheesh. It. You know, before 9/11, we used to
name? What's up?
That's a name that needs to be recorded like that?
Hey, it's Arab. What you talking about? Yeah. A bunch of shit is Arab. They own you. That's it. Yeah. They don't, like, that's the point that I'm trying to show you. Like, they don't need to, like, no, this guy's on TV every day. Like, this guy.
Doesn't matter.
Sending money to Yemen, right?
Like, I think the way they think about it is, oh, it's the perfect cover. Who would suspect the TV guy who talks about basketball and has a podcast? And, like,
Trey is just like, yo, but the nigga's black.
Basically, at this point,
what are they even talking about?
But that's exactly how they get us. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean?
Get us is funny. Get us is funny, man.
Set him up as a basketball expert. You know what I mean? You never suspect that. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, what I was going to say was before 9/11, we would get every now and again like, you know, Islamic extremist, quote unquote, terrorist like content, right? Media, whatever. You know, it used to be Russians. It used to be all kinds of different shit. But now it's just straight up every time we have an enemy. It's a Muslim guy.
Man, I'm telling you, the worst thing that happened was for communism to fall. Everything was all good back then. Like, they were hijacking like Palestinians were hijacking planes. But people were really worried about it. Think about how many times planes got hijacked in the 80s, 70s and 80s. And we still were able to walk into an airport and walk all the way up to the gate and wave people goodbye. That used to be a thing. Like, someone's flying, you could walk up to the gate. To the gate. Not security gates. Like, to the gate where they're boarding and, like, hug them. Watch TV. Like, watch TV like Seinfeld or, like, Friends or any show from the 90s. You'll see them. They'll be like, they'll run to the gate like, oh, man, I just missed him. He just got on the plane. Like,
I'm not going front, though, man. For a minute after 9/11 and white people was really giving it to Muslims pretty bad, I was like, woo, finally. Yeah. You know, some of the burning.
Sam Wu finally was crazy, Wals.
Man, the burden was getting heavy, man. I was like, oh, finally, somebody with some help here, man.
That's America, man.
Help with the hate.
That's how the structure of this country is. It's like, you feel like, man, let there be like a massive like reaction to like, let North Korea do some wild stuff. And then Koreans and Asians in general be man, I'm going to be sitting here kicking my legs like, woo! It's been a hard 20 years or so, but man, about time.
It's crazy, yo.
And it's wild because it never comes back. Because if you look at like Russians, like it should, like technically they should be back on the list, but no.
Nah, they're not back on the list because
we already made all those movies. That's why. I can't make any more movies about this.
Plus, they helped elect the Klansmen, so it's like they're on the same side. Like,
but Russia actually has Russians and Muslims, right?
Yes. Oh yeah.
They got their own problems inside of the country with them, you know. Right. Which, by the way, is proven to be manufactured terrorism on the part of this.
They don't fuck around, bro.
Yeah, but at the same time, the state has used them as a means.
Of course, they're gonna exaggerate it and make it seem worse than it is to back an agenda they already wanted to push through. That's just authoritarianism playbook 101. You know what I'm saying? Like, be like, what? One Chechen dude, they all fucked up. That's just how it goes.
Yo. Yes, I do.
Oh, man.
Yes, I do.
Yo, by the way, I just look into the group chat here. Where do you find these things, Trey? Honestly, man.
Hey, man, it's just sent to my phone, brother.
Trey. Damn, man. Like, so basically what Trey has sent to the group chat is a screenshot from Instagram of, it looks like Bow Wow is in the bed. And the caption is, Bow Wow said, why eat Applebee's when you can have Nobu? Which I don't even know what the fuck that means. Okay.
You want me to break that down?
Like, is that referencing something, or is he literally just saying, why?
So it's pretty much saying, like, why mess with somebody mediocre when you can eat fancy? You know what I mean?
So that's his way of saying, like, why McDonald's?
That's his dirty Mac. That's his dirty Mac on whoever he dirty Mac at home.
So he's shitting on Erica Mena?
Yeah. Who I think is in a relationship with Katie's old running mate, Cliff. So...
That's like his homie?
his old homie. He's not with him no more. He doesn't bang with him like that anymore.
No, is he in the league?
He's just a cat.
He's overseas, or he's just a cat?
No, he's just a cat, bro.
He's not a basketball player.
Damn, he said. No,
I'm trying to figure out.
He's just in the
girls
mix.
Only date certain type of cats.
He in the mix.
Okay,
good for see. Waz is home for us all, man.
Hey, I was never mad at Erica Mena, like you know. The one season of Love & Hip Hop that I did know, I watched one season of that, whatever she was on, and the very first season of Love & Hip Hop ATL, the first Stevie J season. But Erica was my favorite, man. She's a sicko.
Yeah. So anyway, she replies to that under the caption, said, "Can y'all forget I ever dealt with him? Please." With a crying face emoji and crying laughing emoji and then like the X emoji, to which Shad Moss replies, "Nope, just like we won't forget them 500 bodies." And she hits him, hold on, which is like, yeah, okay, sucker move. But then she hits him back with, "You mean the 500 bodies you stayed eating between my legs? Standing up, little man. Wow. That's a three-piece combo.
No, but you left the other part out that helped you grow your little whiskers.
I put hair on your chest, man.
Basically. She basically has a shot of James Bond whiskey between her legs.
this motherfucker responds. Someone tell Erica Mena, don't make me leak the tape. Somebody has to point out to him that's illegal.
Mr. Wow, though. Mr. Wow is funny. That is illegal, though. That's reverse porn.
Yeah.
Revenge porn, I'm sorry.
Reverse porn.
reverse porn is funny. My bad.
He'll be pulling it out.
That's like, yeah. No, that's like Mr. Rogers. Yeah. It's reverse porn. Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah, man. Yeah, don't threaten people with leaking news and stuff, man. Not cool.
That's corny.
Even if it was legal, not cool.
And by the way, like, the whole body shaming in public, like, man's got to stop that. Like, why would you want to discourage women from having sex with dudes? I just don't understand the logic behind that. Like, it's like, so you want women to not have sex with God? Like, I just don't get it. I don't get it. Like, you can feel how you want about it, but like to go out in public and be like, yo, you know, you can choose to be like, yo, I'm cool off of a woman who may have slept with 500 men. That's fine. That's your choice. That's your prerogative.
Hey, man, eat it like man with the red hat. You got to eat those bodies.
No, I mean, let's just think about this, right? If someone starts having sex, conservatively speaking, at 21 years old, let's just assume college, they didn't do anything, right? You start at 21 and they're 31. So that's 10 years of having sex.
That's 50 bodies a year. That's four a month.
What my man Freaky Ziggy say, the chick burnt the sideburns off my man.
That's once a week, you know what I'm saying? That's, you know. You know, yeah, 52 weeks, 52.
Yeah, pretty much. once a week and you skipped a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Like, obviously 500 is an exaggeration, but still, like, when you put it in those terms, like, once a week.
A different dude every week for 10 years.
That smoker ass laugh, man. That shit be whistling.
Oh, man.
I don't understand where Bow Wow's going with that. I just don't understand.
Oh, man. It's just, but it's at the point now with Mr. Wow that we don't have to, like, you can just really scroll past him. Anything that says his name, like, I've gotten to the point with the guy at the red hat, like, I just don't say their name. I just scroll because I feel like now at this point we give good or bad comments, it's free promo.
Sure, Trey. But I'll tell you what the difference between red hat and and Bow Wow. Bow Wow is harmless punching bag. It's fun to make fun of Bow Wow. What he says is dumb and is not influencing anybody. The other guy is dealing with things that are more serious than just, oh, you got 500 bodies. Blah, blah, blah. Like, the other guy is dealing with things that affect
actual everyday people,
effects that normalize behaviors that should not be normalized, that have been things that have happened from official institution levels that should not be validated at all, and give people who hate his people all the ammunition to wreak even more havoc. That's why Red Hat is, we don't talk about him, we don't discuss what he did, what he said, or anything like that. Bow Wow, to me, reminds me of a simpler time when we just used to roast people for saying dumb things. And look, it's all good after that.
And Bow Wow's been that person for us for years now, man. We going on close to a decade of clowning that homie.
Was it 10 years or was damn near?
What are you referring to?
The Bow Wow when he's walking down the street and literally no one knows who he is, but he's trying to make it seem like, oh my God, all these people recognize me. Oh, no. Trey, you remember that, right?
This was pre-Twitter.
No, come on. Y'all don't remember this? When Bow Wow walking down the street and he's shooting a video, a selfie video.
Are you talking about the selfie video with the people behind him?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, well, they didn't recognize who I am.
He's just struggling with it. With the transition,
child star. Is that what we're looking at?
Yeah, man, it's child star syndrome or something. Damn, CSS, bro.
He came in the game really young. Yeah, that's true. He's used to, you know what I mean? He's used to people kissing his ass, being hot. Mr. 106 and Pong guy, and then now he got to transition into adulthood.
Let's be honest, Bow Wow hosting 106 and Park. First of all, who cares? But second of all, he should care because that's a massive step down. What artist goes out to host? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it'd be like if Hov was hosting TRLs.
Yeah. You're supposed to make the records that come on this show. You're not supposed to host.
Shouldn't you be on tour or something?
Yeah. It's wild. And isn't he on the show like Growing Up Hip Hop or something like that? They got one of those.
I don't watch enough TV, man, for me to validate that.
Yeah, I mean, it's only on one, what's it called? Center One. What's the name of that channel? It's not quite BET. It's like TV One. Is that what it is?
I still couldn't tell you.
Centric? Are you talking about Centric?
Centric.
Okay.
Centric.
Used to show Martin. That's what I know. They used to, Martin was syndicated on there for a little while. I don't know if it still is. That was the primary use for that channel Centric, back in the days.
Centric and TV One. These are other black, quote unquote, black channels that just all they do is show reruns and terrible reality programming.
I could not tell you what that was on my dial, kid.
It's around BET, actually.
If somebody was like, yo, what channel is TV One? I'd be like, yo, fam,
I can tell you what no channels are. Apple TV and a streaming service. That's all I got for you, boss man.
So you're the cord cutter, motherfucker.
Yeah, bro. I'm telling you, if I didn't know you, bro, I probably never would have tapped in with the four letters, my man.
Oh, man. Come on now. So we were talking about BET, we were talking about TV One and Centric and all these other weird channels. But once upon a time, BET was a channel that people would tune into, right? This was something that was, I won't say appointment viewing, but I remember coming back after class, 4 o'clock, turn on the TV, boom, Rap City. And not only Rap City, just to catch the videos or whatever, but specifically The Basement. This was when you would have rappers come in, get interviewed by Big Tigger, and then ultimately get on the mic and give you some bars. And so, Trey, you got on the rundown. Big Tigger reflects on Rap City, the basement.
So it was no story, but it was actually like a couple rappers kind of sharing. I guess it was the anniversary of E-40 actually in the booth. And then Pimp C also did a freestyle over Bad Boy Shine, right? Yep. And since it was just so much conversation of Big Tigger, I wanted us to reflect on how important Rap City of Basement was. There's no anniversary. There's no, you know, reason to like bring it up, but this is just a random conversation that I was having that I thought would be dope for the panel.
Yeah, man. I fucking loved Rap City, man. I loved Rap City so much. And the cool thing, because it's like, you know, TRL and or even 106 and Park and all of that, where they playing B2K and Bow Wow and all this shit. Like, Rap City was just straight up rap. You know what I'm saying? And when an artist would come up there, like, they're playing pool, they're kind of just hanging out. It was like a very informal, just a hang, like a very chill vibe. Like, it was really cool the way they would set that up. And, of course, the freestyles. It was just, you know, it was dope, man. It was everything. It was the culture encapsulated literally in one show. And like I said, you know, if you wanted to see some rap on TRL, you were hard pressed to get in some rap between Blink 182. And of course, 106 and Park was for little 13-year-old girls, basically. If you wanted adult rap music, you had to go to the basement.
Ludacris' third album, still whooping they ass. Still travel overseas with over 10,000 cash. Enough money in the chain to keep a country fed. People ask why the skull is because I like it. And they wonder if I'm good. Hell yeah, it's a great feeling. I got bongs tall as the Empire State Building. What more could I want? I get it and waste it. Only thing left to take is Rap City in the basement.
And Tigger was a fun interviewer too, because, like, you know, obviously he had good questions, but he didn't take himself too seriously either. And he would ask you shit that was important, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not going to have Hov up there and not ask him about Nas, but, you know, he knew how to have fun. He knew how to keep it loose. Like, that show was a model for a lot of shit that we see even now.
Question on everybody's mind. How did this get started with you and Jay? What's the problem?
I think it's like, it's just hip hop. It's just, you know, right. People bump heads, you know what I mean? Mm. It's always like rappers always talking like subliminal disses to each other. I think this one was a tension that was brewing in the streets of New York for a couple of years.
Right.
And, you know, it just came to life.
Because I remember the first
time. Yo, I'm, by the way, shout out to also Joe Claire. I don't know. Y'all.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the original.
Joe Cleese. Joe Cleese, man.
Joe Claire, man.
I guess he still works. He works in TV, like local TV in DC, like on like a morning show. And, he's still funny, man. Like Joe Claire is still funny. And I don't know why I would have thought that would have wore off, but somehow it didn't. How did you guys feel? I felt like this was the original platform for where we switched from freestyle, meaning I'm giving you 16 off the top of my head, to I'm going to come with a written because I want to look good because I know a lot of people are going to watch this.
Well, the comparison to now where you go see Flex and you really want to show your mastery of ceremony, you know what I mean? Like in general and really show that you belong. It's a difference because that was like the simple amazement of it. It was like, wow, we're getting some over somebody else's beat, you know, and this was like kind of in the midst of mixtape era where guys were kind of, you know, the Clue tapes were starting to roll out and guys were starting to freestyle over other beats. So it was really amazing. I think my favorite time was when Poster Boy and Cam and Lil Wayne and like there's a lot of classics. And then, you know, obviously Big Tigger would sprinkle his very mid bars over it. It didn't self-promote that the album was on the way, but the album never came. and it was so funny because, like, I love how Wayne threw in a freestyle one time. He said, niggas had never seen me like Mama Tigger. Mama Tigger was never seen, which is fire, too. She was kind of like a concept of like being there, like, you know what I'm saying, a guy. Because
it's the idea actually, that we were at Tigger's house.
It was at Tigger's crib in the basement. And then your man, like, he probably inspired, he inspired a lot of home producers on the low. Cats just start building their studios at the crib. Yeah. At the crib. He was an innovator, man. But, like, he wasn't that trash. I don't think it was all right. He was all
right. He was okay. And, but the thing is, he was actually freestyling.
Hey, but right? Would Tigger be actually okay to drop an album right now?
Nah.
No, Tigger.
You have to auto tune this shit.
Tigger's rapping style is like your friend who's really funny that you know could never be a stand up comedian. Like, there's a difference between being funny around here, and then actually standing up on a microphone, telling jokes, having a 5 minute routine, 10 minute routine, whatever. Like, there's a huge difference between that. Same thing here. It's like the difference between yo, I can drop an album, man. Yo, put the beat on, and then I'm gonna get my beat on. Like, you know, like there's some cats that are just like, we can BS on this, but really that's the height of their skills, and there's no more higher level of polish or skill level that can carry a track, an album, an EP, whatever.
Yo, and back to what you said, like, were people ever going up to the radio or to the basement and actually freestyling? Like, even with, like, say, Stretch and Bobbito, like, when people would go up there, they had written bars that they were going to go up there to spit. Like, was it ever really the case that people would show up and just spit something off the top of the dome? If not just to, like, do, like, sort of a parlor trick, you know what I mean?
I mean, that's the thing. Like, I guess I'm going back to it. I keep saying it's just say, there was a time when freestyle meant freestyle.
True.
And I think Rap City was the first national show. I'm pretty sure people did this on little local radio stuff. But as far as a national show, right, this is broadcast across the nation. People watching and listening, where guys would go up to a mic and say, yeah, I'm not going to risk looking like a fool up here. And not finding the next word, that word or something, or being off rhythm or whatever. So I'm going to just spit some written stuff. It'll either be from a track that is yet to be released, or maybe it's from a track that was never released. It's kind of old, but eventually found its way out or whatever. But like that was, I remember that was the first time. I can't remember who it was, but I'm like, oh, you rapping that thing from da-da-da. It's just the beat is different. And it was like a B-side to one of the singles of the album that no one really listened to. And so you're begging on most people won't know that this is a pre-written. And I remember for a time, it was just like, yo, this dude does a freestyle. He's all pre-written. And then like kind of it was like a scarlet letter or whatever. And then over time, like people just stopped caring, man. They just want to hear you rap. And so I was like, all right, well, cool. Let's hear you rap. Because then the other thing that made me realize it was Eminem was getting interviewed. I don't know if he was getting interviewed on Rap City or if it was on another show. And they were asking him about who the best freestylers are. And he said, Cannabis. And everyone was like, really? He was like, look, let me tell you something. He's like, the dude brain was like a computer. Like the stuff was written, but like he literally wrote so much stuff about almost any topic that you could say something like, suitcases, and he had a folder in his brain that was suitcase freestyle.
Yep.
And like, yo, the Samsonite, da-da-da, like he immediately had something off the top, and he remembered it all. And like, on some level, I was like, all right, I guess, like, that's not easy to do. It's kind of like LeBron having a photographic memory. Like,
right. Like
you could say, oh, of course he knew what was going to happen, because he's like, he remembered it from the last time. I was like, that's not easy to do, though, to remember right. that many plays, you know, throughout your entire career. And be able to recall instantly, like when you see like, oh, he lined up over this. Oh, they must be running this. It's still pretty fire, regardless of whether it was a true reaction that he reacted and blocked the shot, or if he knew all along. Either way, the knowledge is pretty impressive.
To me, like freestyling off the top of your head is just like I said, a parlor trick. It's like somebody who could really dunk but can't do anything else, or like hot sauce with the dribble on one mixtape. Yeah, like that's what it is to me.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Because it's such a
being like a great hooper, you're good at this one neat nifty trick. You know what I'm saying?
Because it's not really applicable, right? Like Okay, you go on top of your head, but like we have other situations that we got to address that are not off the top of the head situations. Like
maybe. Thriller wasn't made off the top of the dome, fam.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it boils down to, man.
Yeah, you know what you just call every off the top of the head rapper? You the little nigga they bring in halftime to dribble six balls at the same time and like spin it on his nose as he like dances and does the Harlem shake.
By
like,
the way, we cool. all love the N1 mixtape, the N1 mixtape tour. I loved Hot Sauce, Headache, you know, Half Man, Half Amazing. We loved it. But
let me ask you this. What do you think about Atlanta has the Hawks? I know last year, I don't know if they're doing it this year, but they have a timeout contest that's like stop Hot Sauce. And Hot Sauce will... literally
come out. Shouts to Hot Sauce still getting it.
Yeah, Hot Sauce will literally come out. Yeah, I know it's fake. But like, what do you think about the idea that like this dude who at one point, like it's crazy that for the younger listeners, I don't know if you remember, there was a point in time where N1 Mixtape was like celebrity status. These dudes would travel from city to city.
And they were like, basically the Harlem Globetrotters.
So, but I mean, that shit came out during the worst time of my life. 2000 to 2003. Mm-hmm. Listen, there were cats, everybody, that shit was like skateboard when Tony Hawk hit the hood. Cats were trying to tear off cats' heads. In real games, though.
Yeah.
Like, a high school coaches, if you coached high school basketball from 2000 to 2003, during that era, you're going to pull out your hair.
Bless your heart.
Cats were carrying the ball. Like, they're wondering why the refs are calling carry. Like,
and then remember Nike put it in a commercial.
Yeah. That was the Lamar the Odom.
Lamar
Odom dribbling with his knees.
The ball-headed white dude, yeah.
Yeah. But it was just so crazy. Like, that was such an era because it basically ruined a lot of good basketball players.
Oh, my
Cats
God.
Cats that were really fundamentally sound had abandoned everything they've learned just to get a perfect crossover, to dribble like AO, to play like Headache, to dunk like Main Event, to do certain things like Escalade, rest in peace, to do like, it was so many characters. Like at that point, they had NBA guys showing up to their runs and trying to be down. And, you know once.
Bro, trying to get a run at the park was miserable, bro.
No, yeah.
Oh, no, but like, look, I'll tell you what the worst was. The worst was, like, it's bad enough when, you know, everything you described there. But like when you would just go to, I just want to go on here, win a bunch of games, go home, tired. You're like, I just want to play pickup. And Katz was doing like, I'm like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah.
like put the ball, remember like from NBA Street, they put the ball on the floor and then step on it and travel. Like, yeah. Like, minute, like, yeah, like I'm trying to play basketball. I don't know what you're trying to do. I don't know. I'm calling all of these things.
And I mean, the crazy thing is people spent hours perfecting those moves and not taking jump shots.
So the craziest thing.
Generation of potential hoopers to this shit.
That was all NYC, and that was where the whole stereotype came in, right, where you guys only had handles.
It wasn't a stereotype, bro. It was facts.
First of all, yes, it was fact. Second of all, it started a long time earlier than that because what it was because New York and Chicago, because the idea is that most of the hoopers play outdoors, and because you're outdoors, the wind beats like, yo, I don't know if you ever shot the ball on a windy day. It's no fun. So it like the environment makes you go to the hole. You go to the hole and you're really good at finishing. Like that's like the New York stereotype, right? And then, like, N1 came out. And if you remember N1 at the beginning, like, the Skip to My Lou N1.
Yep.
Like, I mean, that was when, Skip was doing stuff, and it was actually, like, I don't need the defender to be complicit in this. I don't need the ref to be complicit in this. I'm going to do stuff with the ball. You're going to try and stop it. The ref is going to try and call something. He won't be able to. You won't be able to. And then I'm going to lay it up and dish it off and whatever.
U.S. military jets just flew over the city. That's scary.
Goddamn right they did.
The siege is starting.
You goddamn right.
You have. You know that don't.
A lot of, you know, it's a lot of Mexicans in LA. So the president had to go to the military. I'm just saying, that's what he said. That's Trey.
This is a fire.
He said he wanted to send the National Guard down to the border, but, you know.
We at one point, we're going to have to talk about the game, right, guys?
Game.
The game. The rapper. The game.
What about him?
Oh, he thinks these fires are a little bit suspicious.
Man, get out of here with all that.
You try to make the game complicit in your conspiracy theory?
I'm just, guys, man.
But that's not the point. He's not the only person that said that. You know, point is, my girl's sister said the same thing.
And Jay did too.
Oh, my God. Hey, I'm not even afraid to admit it. This one's weird, guys.
Hashtag the one weird. Up north or the one in Malibu and all that?
The campfire. Hashtag campfire.
Yeah, it's your world, Jay. Like, you can't just...
Yeah, I was waiting. Yeah, he dropped that bomb and left.
Wait. Oh, no, I wanted to just get the game news out there. Is the game is the game relevant anymore?
Not unless he's fighting someone at the Drew.
No. He doesn't make music that people, like, really care about too much anymore.
10 million but Instagram followers, though.
But he's a personality.
So, Jade, he started this fitness thing, and he was like, and women find him very attractive. I think he's kind of retired from rap, or just haven't had any inspiration. He was in and out of trouble with the law. Like I said, I don't have nothing to say about JCon. Good rapper at times.
Hey, Trey, I love when you do that. That's like my favorite shit.
What?
Good you rapper at times.
No, when you call him by his government.
Because I wouldn't call him game in person. Like, I'm just not going to do that. Like, I think that's type weird. I remember JCon when he had the blonde hair and was hooping at Wilson Park. And
strip dancing with the nigga from Santana Park.
And he was a stripper. And that won't take, like I said, it doesn't take away from his actual career. But like,
was he a stripper and a blood?
Nah, he made the transition, he was a stripper first, and then he tried to hustle.
He was a stripper that hung out with Crips.
Yeah.
Wow. So, one of the Crips that I cut, actually. What I'm hearing is that they don't do background checks. Well, prior for your application.
I watched a Teriyaki 69's interview on Breakfast Club, and he said that, you know, when did becoming a blood have to look a certain way? You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, because I can't even think of Slim 400 has pretty much issued a no fly zone for Teriyaki to not come to the hood. And if he does want to claim blood, he has to drop off 200K. And he's like, and Slim 400 is actually a rapper too, but he's saying that Tekashi basically said that pretty much that why you hating on me, just rap better. We both bloods. You know what I'm saying? Like, in this scenario, like, you're not popping, so you gotta try to extort me.
So let me ask you a question, right? Because
what's up?
I know very little about organized gang culture, right?
Right.
I know, like, at some point back in the day there was like a leadership, an actual, like, this is a dude and da da da. Is there today like a high council of bloods or someone, like you said, this dude Slim 400 said this or that, like, does he have the authority?
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no.
Yeah, it don't go like that, because it's really broken down by different hoods. Cause it can be bloods and bloods that don't like each other. Now, in his scenario, he just pushing the line really hard as far as like, if nobody else gonna press him, I'm gonna press him. I'm gonna be the one. So that's just like North Face or another brand trying to, like Puma trying to do a Paisley drop release and not really paying homage to gang culture. They're going to make a big deal out of this because there's people that actually die for this line that they're pushing, you know what I mean, since day one, like since the 70s. So, I mean, well, 60s. And in a scenario like Game or whoever it may be, we don't have a big blood or big Crip to answer to that one person just answers to. It's no godfather in
this. Right.
God, everybody has their own.
This ain't the Warriors. This ain't the Warriors.
Like, nobody.
ain't no Osiris going to have no big old rally and say, can you dig it? No, it's not happening.
Yeah, like, so in the scenario, you have to look at it like how guys go about who they answer to. And a lot of gangs have died out due to lack of funds that just come through. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's cats that like my dad's a gang. It's kind of being flushed out because there's no money going through. Versus you got the other gangs like the Rolling 60s. They got a lot of money coming through there. So of course,
they got a lot of money from the standard operation, or is there some other
like? No, but you got to look at it, the association. Can we ball Nova?
Sure.
Okay, so these guys are. Guys that are really dropping the bag off to be associated with being a Rolling 60 Crip and vice versa.
Are they paying for security or what? Like,
no, that too. They're paying for a pass. Yeah, association, and they paying for a pass through LA. So, you want your chain, don't you?
So, can't live in Brentwood without paying for it.
No, he can, but he's just tapped. So, first of all, tapped in with the Bloods. But you have to look at it like, in this situation, everybody rocks with. And they normally feel that. That's like a meme, being in Compton, get put on a hood, and then go back to Atlanta and say, yeah, I'm such and such from such and such, Blood. Everybody gonna believe a meme. And they're gonna tap in and say, well, who your big homie or something like that. They just fascinated with the lifestyle.
Right. Versus
where there's cash that done beat up, done, like, you know what I'm saying? But NBA players don't look at it because he's in a club, shows a lot of love. So he's in a club, like, comfortable, and NBA players see that, and they say, okay, he the man. That's why started claiming because he felt comfortable, like, okay, and he shouts him out, like, I'm a Blood because of I didn't have to get jumped in, but gave me the pass and said, I can be down with the mob long as I funnel out what I need to, you know, to take care of the hood.
What if you don't want to be gang affiliated and you black and live in L.A. and you in the NBA? What do you do?
Nothing but you. There's guys that don't bang. Like, it was plenty guys that just kind of just went through. You do your own thing. But if you allow it, it's so many guys that want to be.
They want to be around it. They want to be around it. So they choose to be around that.
I always thought it was weird. That's like white kids want to be homeless in Portland. Like, I don't get it.
Right. No, that's exactly what it's like.
Like, I don't get it. Because in our situation, like, I grew up begging to get out of that, Waz. Like, I'm going to see Kev to get a haircut. You know how many hoods I got to walk through just to go get a haircut? That means I'm going to go to a Mexican gang that hates black people. I got to go through a Crip gang because I live in a Blood neighborhood. I got to go to a Blood neighborhood who thinks my neighborhood shot somebody from their neighborhood. Like, the association is so real that you got to learn the back streets or how to take a different route and all this other stuff. By the time I was 18, me and my best friend was like, yo, we ain't never coming back here. Like, I love my city, but my city don't love me back in that instance. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, and shit, like, Trey, fuck walking through the hoods. Imagine how many hoods you had to come and just sit in the shop with. Blood, then what's going to happen? Smollywopped in the shop.
And that was the one thing that I dealt with transferring from Dominguez. Dominguez was more of a sports school. You know, they like, oh, you hoop, I'm gonna leave you alone. I got to Compton, and it was, I mean, literally like 12 different Crip gangs, and then I did not like any black people.
Hold on. Hey.
Are we back on the record?
Yeah, let's get back on the record.
It's a John Steinbeck novel?
Wait. Quick question. Programming question. Is there any way we can bossa nova the part where he's naming names at the beginning and then just the explanation where you talk about we leave in the explanation about like white kids in Portland that want to be homeless? But I thought like this is a great conversation, and obviously we're not trying to put anybody's business out there. So the names are irrelevant, but I thought the explanation was really good. Does that make sense? Trey, is that cool?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So Jay, let's do this. Let's bossa nova all names of people.
Yes. There was one name.
No, there's a lot of names. A
couple names. Yeah.
There was a lot of names.
Okay, those names. I got you. Yeah. Those names. Yes.
Not only those ones, but also all names. All names. Other than Kev and Trey. Those are the names that we can remember.
But I don't know if Kev can. You ready?
Yeah.
This is regular. Yeah. I don't know if Kev remembers. My senior year, I'm wearing a Jalen Rose Chicago Bulls jersey. Me and Donald are at McDonald's, and I see Kev just passing by, and the Mexican gang, pretty much there's a dude like pointing at us, and I'm like, why? And it's because I got on red. So yeah. He's associating me with being a blood off the top. And this is the road Jalen Rose, size 60, number 5. You know, he was only a Bull for like a little bit, but I copped the jersey because I was a Bulls fan and yeah. I rocked with Jalen Rose at that time. So I see Kev. But Kev is going down. He's going down Compton Boulevard to a direction where he was headed somewhere. So we're trying to flag down Kev, like, yo, just drop us off in front of the school really quick. But he couldn't. So I see dude pull out a shotgun, and I take off running. At this point, because we couldn't catch Kev, it was too late. But we knew Kev had a truck. You hear him, like, he had beat. You know, he had rims. He had a car club, so you knew it was Kev. I'm like, there go Kev. Don't, like, you know, we got to get him. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we got to get his attention so he can drop us up. I end up running through the Compton Courthouse building with my friend, and this car is chasing us. Like, that was the stuff I had to deal with every day. So I, like, don't understand why it's the reverse of people, glorified with that lifestyle.
Particularly.
I literally could have lost my life every night, like every day. Yeah. Every day was something. Like, something was always thirsty. Was like, we'd be out, we'd be hooping. I see a car going slow, and I'm like, hey, bro, watch that car. Let's hoop a little bit more. That car's lights come off. As soon as the lights come off, like the movies, I don't know who created that. They cut the lights off, drive slow, then they get, I guess they prepping the guns or whatever, and then they do a drive-by shooting. We just knew. You just know, you got the intuition, like, you better run. And then you get shot.
Yeah, and it's wild. It's wild that Soulja Boy would make millions of dollars and be like, yo, this is what I want to do with my time. I want to act like this is my life and my circumstances.
I just don't get it, man.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And, yo, honestly, you know, maybe I just be going a different kind of spot. Like, I don't really see, like, because if you don't go to, like, say, Nightingale on Sunday, which is, I guess, Greystone Sundays, which is, like, you know, the NBA cats love. They love Nightingale on Sundays or Poppy or whatever. Like, it's really only two spots that they really, really be at like that. You know what I'm saying? And the static is such where I'm just like, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? But the idea that you would be in there with gang members is just –
But like the thing I don't get is, like, if you're an NBA player, right, or an entertainer, like a music person, or just anyone who you already made it, man, you're famous, you got a decent amount of money. Why do you need any of that? Is it your name and your fame enough to get you access to all the places that you want to go and talk to the women you want to talk to or whatever? I that's the part I don't understand. Like,
it's just no, like, it's not even that. Was people it's that was not, trying to act like hard rocks, and it's like, yo, if you was a hard rock, you wouldn't be in college.
It's not even that though. It's more so like, you know, just being able to move around. Like Trey said, dudes is out here extorting guys. So if you really like want to be able to move around and just be in the club without somebody patting your pockets, then you kind of gotta get with some one person. And one of my boys is one of those one people. He got a few people that he pat pockets.
No, and look,
he extorts on a regular.
And what Kevin's trying to explain for the listeners, moving around comfortably is like, these guys got jewelry on. They got Hublots. They got Audemars Piguets. Like, they have watches worth hundreds of thousands of dollars on. They have hundreds of thousands of dollars in jewelry, cash, basically, on their person all the time. And if you want to be able to move comfortably – where somebody's not running up on you like, yo, boy, let me see that watch. You know, You might want to find
your actual security won't cut it.
Oh, I think it would, but cats
like don't actual, do that. Actual
but
nobody.
But they wait.
Like you mean? Hold on, no, hold on, Trey. Like you mean like security at the club?
No, I'm not talking about the club.
Hiring your own security.
My own dude, my Uncle Jerome, basically.
Exactly. And guess what? And that's who these guys are. Like this is security nowadays. This is my security. Yeah. I'm hiring them. It's like, okay, I'm hiring you to keep me cool in the club, but at the same time, this nigga's a gangbanger.
Yeah, Kev, what you're basically saying is the equivalent of like mafia extortion. It's like, hey, I need to make sure that these punks don't keep throwing shit into my window. Hey, can y'all help me? And you pay the Godfather, and the Godfather makes sure that the punks don't throw this in your window. But guess what now? Now you owe the mob money. Like I'm talking about like legitimate security. Like again,
like Tekashi 6ix9ine who hired Floyd Mayweather's ex security guards? That's sure. What's keeping him safe out here.
Sure, that's what I'm talking about. Like, why
would that was smart on his part.
That's what's keeping him safe out here. And the thing is the one guy who's not the tallest, he's like the middle height guy. He's taller. He's shorter than the tallest, which is Big Fonz. And then it's Adam. Adam is from, he actually grew up around the corner. Me and, you know, like right around the corner from me on Burrs. I lived on Sloan. He lives on Burrs, which is a block away. So he's from Compton. He's from L.A. So he got a long reach out here. So with the slim dude talking that talk, he not finna do too much of nothing. Not with Adam on the team.
That's the funny thing, man. Like, all right, well, it's just the whole thing is fascinating, man. Because it seems to me it's like, yo, I'm getting into some shit, so I need some security because I'm about to get into some shit. Like, or you could just not get into shit. Like, you're rich and you have.
Or just go to the club the way Boban does. Boban don't got jewels on.
Yeah, man.
The women still know
ain't no,
who he
ain't
is.
Ain't nobody gonna press Boban, bro. listen, ain't nobody. Hey, look, I used to be at a spot out here, bro. I can't even think of the name, bro. The club in Old Town, Revolver. And I remember one night, bro. It's me, Bassy, Gortat, like one more cat. Oh, Deontay.
The 2012 yeah. Suns. What is this?
Yeah, it was. So
Deontay Harris. Where is he at? That's my. You know, I like him.
Garrett's in Italy, I think. So yeah. we're in Revolver, and I'm looking like at Gortat swag. Like, yo, wait, you in a hip hop club?
Oh yeah.
Trying to see what's getting down. Nobody acknowledged, bro. Nobody. Nobody.
I'm telling you.
Like, in LA, they would have been on him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The women out here are smarter about that.
No, but the women would have been on him. Not no cats. Yeah. No cats. Yeah. Not going, like, yo, you Martin Gortat?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yo,
bro, oh.
Nah.
No. Hell, man. Nah. By the way, that's what we're looking for, man. Like, I don't want to have these conversations with dudes.
No,
Ill double double you had the other night.
I'm dancing with a lady. I would have thought Gortat would have had him on deck though.
He probably talked his way
out. Nah, he was with his wifey, bro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was with his wifey.
God bless.
That's when my man had the Mini Cooper with the roof gone, so he could look out.
Wait, Gortat was driving a Mini Cooper?
He was just on some weird flex.
He is a strange dude.
Some of the positive things that came out of it, it's to me, the fact that it existed, you know what I'm saying? Because it gave people something else to do. That everybody that's in hip-hop, it gives you something else to do, you know? Everybody's not fortunate enough to be a doctor or a lawyer, you know? Everybody doesn't complete 4 years of college, you know? It gives you something else to do, and it is a job, straight up. It's a straight up job. It's not everything that you see in videos, you know? Most people in videos are fronting anyway. You know, it's not about that. It's about what goes on in here.
Do not resist the beat.
Hey, before we get out of here, let's see. It's the anniversary of Chronic 2001.
Fantastic album.
This might be the I don't want to call it the best West Coast album ever, but damn, it's up there. Damn, if it ain't up there, man.
Yeah, Chronic 2001.
Yeah,
I would argue it being the best.
It's complete, man.
It's so damn complete. Let's go through this real quick, track for track. The Watcher.
Great.
The original World Watcher.
This ain't the same for gangsters.
Oh man, that beat. And by the way, this was the album that I know was slow for me, but when I finally realized, oh, now I can tell who wrote Dre's lyrics. Mm-hmm. Because if you just rap it in the voice, like, same, gangsters and that, like, oh, it's Eminem wrote that one, as opposed to Still, Not Loving Police, Still. That's so such a whole flow.
Yep.
That, you know, obviously Ho wrote that one, but yeah. The Watcher, banger. Fuck you, banger.
Oh my God.
I think that was a song that got everybody to like bootleg that joint. Cause that right there,
that joint,
and then Devin verse.
Woo.
Devin the dude, still DRE, obviously classic. That the Scott Storch piano keys, dun 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 dun. Dope, Big Egos. Y'all like that one?
Amazing, explosive.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Yes, it is.
And not just beyond. This is beyond just West Coast. This is one of the best albums ever made.
Yes. I agree.
Yeah, nobody's arguing that.
I agree. Yeah.
I don't
remember Bar One. Well, how does Bar One go?
Bar One? What was Bar One?
Says featuring Tracy Nelson, Ms. Rock, and Eddie Griffin. That might have. Oh, that's a skit. My boy.
Yeah, that's a skit.
Go to the bar and get me a drink.
Yeah, that's that.
Oh man.
Fuck you.
The beat for that was dope.
Eddie Griffin. Fuck you. My nigga said, "Fuck you."
High speed. That was a nice.
High speed. Great. Yeah. Not about nice. Dre. Obviously, not about one of his biggest records ever. Next episode is still fucking party to this day.
To this day. And it's your DJ and you play the next episode and you don't hold it for the smoke.
Hold up.
You don't hold it for that part, then you trash as a DJ. I'm going to just say it right now. You are
complete trash as a DJ.
Let's Get High. Wasn't crazy about it, but I liked it. It was all right. But I was like, Let's Get High.
So Let's Get High is actually, that's a song that come on in the club. Or at a house party.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, you're right. Like, all these bad bitches. Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, and I'm not bad. That's a great track.
Yeah. Bitch Niggas. Yeah, that's that shit.
I remember Bitch Niggas.
That was hard, too. But, dude, you're doing
Is that bim, 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 bim. Was it like that one?
No, I go, but, doom, doom, doom. Doom, doom, doom. Doom, doom, doom.
Yeah.
Bitch Niggas. Bitch niggas. There you go.
Yeah, that was a motherfucking trip, man. Word on the streets. Everybody always trying to run up on me.
It reminded me of that. It seemed like Snoop in the interrogation room trying to kill you about somebody.
That's what's wrong with you niggas. You niggas are just like bitches.
That's what's wrong with you niggas. You niggas are just like bitches.
Yeah.
All right. The Car Bomb. No, the Car Bomb is next.
That's the interlude.
All right. And then Murder, Inc. Murder, was that the?
No, you went Ja Rule on us.
No, not the Ja. It has like the yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Halloween, yeah. From Halloween or whatever, yeah.
Uh-huh. Murderous.
Yeah, see?
Murderous.
Education is another skit. Some LA niggas. Is this, I bang like Vince Carter from the Baseline?
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a great line at that time.
That is a timeless line. Not a great line.
A bang like, because at that time it was so LA. I was like,
And by the way, still relevant today. Shout out to Vince Carter.
Yeah, man. Still being able to dunk.
Don't give him baseline.
Legend.
Another skit.
Jake Steed. He had Jake Steed on the album, y'all. Legend, man.
Shut up. For his tireless work. Housewife. Which one was Housewife?
Jay's gonna read it later, but it's make a hoe a housewife. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Now this is one of them occasions where the homies not. They ain't doing it right.
Yeah.
Well, you can't make a whole housewife.
That's just it.
The last couple of tracks, this is where, like, for whatever reason, I just never would make it all the way through. So I remember the message because the message was a sad song. Like, you're talking about his brother, right? They got shot. Yeah, but like Bang Bang, Akrite, I have zero memories of that.
Every you all I ever see to is bang, 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 bang. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Bang, 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 bang. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Every day, man. That's great. Really,
that's crazy. Son.
Like, that's like, that's, think about it. 22 tracks. 22 tracks. How many were skits? One, two,
maybe three, man.
Interlude wise.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, non-interludes. I probably skipped three songs on this whole joint. And the rest is just...
I don't think I would skip a single track if I started hearing it. Like...
There you go.
This is... Man, you know what? We should on West Coast music a lot, man. But, like, this right here...
Well, you do, I mean.
What do you mean, we? There's no French here, buddy.
But you know what's funny? Do you guys remember the whole, like, he wanted to call it Chronic 2000 and Suge was like, no. So that's why they called it 2001?
Really?
Yeah, because Suge put out, like... It was supposed to be Chronic 2000.
Oh, yeah, they did.
And then they put out Death Row put out a Chronic 2000.
Chronic 2000, yeah. Because they were actually trying to do, that's just kind of how, like, Juvenile and them did 500, I mean, Lil Wayne and them did 500 Degrees.
Yeah. Well, there's actually a quote here. It says, this is the motivation about the record the album and how he felt he had to prove himself to fans and media again after doubts arose of his production and rapping ability.
When he was doing ballroom dancing in the Been There and Done That video,
Been There, Done
he was
That.
Like, ooh, nah, Dre lost it. He done.
That's crazy to say.
Remember
that video, Trey?
I love Been There, Done That.
I like the song.
The video was crazy.
He had to remind everybody of his rapping and producing skills, and that's why he got Scott Storch to produce Still DRE and have Jay-Z write how I Fall Off. My last album was a Chronic. Great line.
At the end of the day, though, Dre made, you know, but he always had that. He always bring producers in to listen to what they got and fine tune it. Like, that's what's been surprising.
Scott Storch became who he was because he got the intro from Dre. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you're compensating people, I don't give a damn if every bit of your act was lifted off someone else. As long as you're compensating people, I think that's what's up.
Quincy Jones, man.
Say what? He's Quincy
Jones.
Oh. Yeah.
Nah, nobody's Quincy Jones. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Hell no.
Come on, man. He in his own lane.
Yep.
Yo, I had one, just one letter into this week, and it wanted you quickly or whatever to explain what Thanksgiving is like in the black household.
First of all, really quick, I just have a question because I heard about this thing this week, and I'm like, I've never heard of it. I'm like, Friendsgiving?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Omar does Friendsgiving, and it's kind of big now.
Oh, yeah. I get the concept. I've never heard it called that.
I get the concept. Okay, we have Thanksgiving, but it's a
millennial thing, bro.
Okay,
but it's a new word.
We used to do it. Honestly, it was called dysfunctional Thanksgiving. We called it that back in the 2000s.
Oh, shit, that shit sound bad.
But it was bad, Trey.
Is it our people that be doing it, or is it?
No, we'll do it.
People do it.
I'm saying it's just as big. It's just as big as going to brunch weekly. You know what I'm saying? Like at this point, people who love to host now have a reason to cook. Now have, you know, a person to bring their significant other.
And you know what it is too. I mean, everybody, all your friends group on Thanksgiving, they got to go be with their family.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you're not going to be able to link up with them on that day. So it's like us as friends, let's do our own thing and go deal with the people that we have no choice but to deal with.
Are you saying Thanksgiving? Are you saying that it's So it doesn't even
happen. You do it like a week before.
Yeah, so you do it a week before. It's not an actual day.
This is how little I know about it.
Yeah.
The week before.
You don't do it.
But like for instance, you-wise, you're not going home, right?
I'm going to Georgia. I'm going to my brother's house.
Oh, okay. But I'm thinking a lot of people, you know, like in L.A., they have family.
So I went to went to a Friendsgiving, and I'm probably going to go to one like this week before Thanksgiving.
Like in New York or even in L.A., like it's a very transient city. Like a lot of people is going to be out of town. A lot of people is going to be whatever. You know, everybody goes back to Iowa and Nebraska, as I like to say, during the holidays in New York. But like, you know, so before they go back, they do something with their homies, their people that they have to say.
I thought it was like they were doing it on Thanksgiving Day, and this was all the people who weren't going home.
Nah, you gotta be
Thanksgiving. You know me. That's just regular Thanksgiving. You just going to somebody's crib on Thanksgiving.
Fair enough.
You know, I'm having Thanksgiving with y'all, fool. That's it. It ain't no Friendsgiving.
So basically, I didn't get no Friendsgiving invites this year. There's a bunch of fuckies they gotta put out there, right?
Pretty much.
I mean, if your friends actually did it, I mean, I don't know if the older age group does it. Because like I said, it's a millennial thing. That's more of them cats that'd be like 25, 25 through 35. Because if you're 35 and up, normally you got a family, bro. You're like, I got my own family. I'm going to go see my wife's family. We're going to go this. You know what I mean? Like when you're married, you got to pick and choose.
So you guys go ahead and explain to the people what Thanksgiving is. Because, you know, my family, we're from another country, don't really celebrate that. So, like, now we're just doing it for the kids so that they feel like they're in. But when I was growing up, it was just another day off.
All right. So when I actually used to get jiggy with eating meat and turkey and all that stuff, the best Black Thanksgiving would be waiting in your room while everybody pull up to your crib, especially if your family is hosting, waiting till the last minute because you know food going to take forever. You got your drunk uncles. You got your drunk aunties. You got your grandmas who cooking. You got your mom who cooking. Who they started cooking at 4 a.m. maybe the next day. And the house is, you know, going. You got your little cousins in town. People are flying in. You know, you're going to probably have to give up your room or et cetera. And then you finally come out. I say the best clothes on Thanksgiving is sweats, like your most coziest stuff. But some people dress up just like Easter. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. And then, like Black families, you either going to have everybody going to make something. You got your auntie who make the potato salad that nobody going to touch. You got five different turkeys. Somebody got to be extra off a recipe they got off Pinterest with lemon pepper and all this other
stuff. Five turkeys?
I'm just saying, because everybody be like, oh, I don't like that person cooking, but they won't tell them in their face.
House. So you're talking about a lot of people here, Trey.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying in the Black community, you got to look at it like
you got to feed a lot of people, man.
You got your uncle, you got your uncle wife, you got your uncle, you know what I mean? Somebody girlfriend, somebody cousin, their cousin brought the girlfriend. Oh, somebody, you just don't know who going to pull up. Like that's like me coming to LA and I say, yo, my mom got to work. I'm going to come to Kev's house. But Kev might have his mother-in-law. Kev might have his family plus his wife's family plus some friends that don't have no friends. Like, you know what I'm saying? Plus me. You got to include all that. And they're like, what you bringing? Oh, I'm going to bring this. I'm going to bring the punch. I'm going to bring the liquor. I'm going to bring this. You know what I'm saying? So you got a house full of this. You got desserts, all this stuff.
A bottle of drink could get you in every time, though.
Every time. Like, hey, I don't cook nothing. I got this Henny. You know what I'm saying?
Good with the Henny.
You got your grandparents or in the dads all separated watching sports. You got the kids running around. You got the women in the other room gossiping or talking about planning a baby or something. You know what I mean? Like it's the best time outside of Christmas. Christmas now, I feel like Christmas is watered down. A lot of people choose to work on Christmas. They don't really be tripping. And if you got kids, you normally kind of just making your rounds to pick up gifts, or it ain't the same. But Thanksgiving is the number one, I feel, in the Black community, because everybody share their love through food.
Yeah. I love food.
I agree. Thanksgiving has kind of taken over Christmas.
Oh, it's much better. Much better.
Now, Christmas is just for kids.
Yeah.
Hey, because I celebrate Sidesgiving. So if you got mac and cheese and, you know, Waz, I know you talk about y'all serve like seafood, right?
Yeah. We do all of that shit. I ain't never got out with that. Lobster, shrimp, all of that shit, man.
For Christmas or Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. For Christmas, that's what we do. Thanksgiving. This year, I think we said we're going to barbecue. We're just going to do some, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to switch it up and barbecue.
I
might get a fried turkey, and then we'll barbecue everything else. Mm-hmm. Tri-tip and, you know, whatever random.
Man, might have to come through for the leftovers.
You got to drop that thing in the old, you know, the oil there.
Yeah, no, I'm going to go buy it, Jade. I don't fuck around. Okay. Burn my damn house up. I just looked at one of those today in the store, and I was like, I should get that. And she said, we might as well. I said, hell no. I'll set some shit on fire. Hell, I will set some shit on fire. Whole complex.
Yes. It's fine.
I was like, Jade, reading the whisper lyrics again.
Go.
All right.
Cool. So do we want to wrap
Thanksgiving.
Here? Happy Thanksgiving. Everybody have fun, eat good.
Be safe on Black Friday.
Oh boy, yeah. And this is Black Opinions Matter.